I feel very consoled when I read this gospel tonight, because even the apostles, who were the first bishops of the church, who we have large statues of all over the world, are asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. That even the very first leaders of our church didn't exactly know how to do it, how to be a good follower of Jesus. And it makes me feel better when I don't know how to do it. And he also consoles us with these words saying, "Knock and the door will be answered. Seek and you will find." That God wants to give you good things. And yet prayer and a relationship with God seems one of the most elusive things, even to Christians. And I think one of the challenges is that we often approach it in a childlike way. We grew up, many of us, being told to recite our prayers, right? Our parents taught us things and we recited them. And that doesn't work as an adult, does it? It's like a marriage. In fact, the Bible talks about our relationship with God over and over being a marriage. And in a marriage, just reciting something to your spouse like a robot, "I love you, honey," well, they might not feel so loved. We're also relating with a supreme being. And although some of your husbands, ladies, think they are supreme beings, relating with God can be a challenge because he is perfect. And even standing in his presence, being in his presence, we feel our unworthiness. And Satan can really play on that too sometimes to make us feel like we're unlovable, when it's exactly God's love that he wants to impart to us during that time of prayer. One of the other challenges is that I know when I go to prayer is I stand before God. I know I'm unlovable, but I know he loves me anyway. And then I know he wants me to change something. And so I can kind of sometimes want to shrink away from prayer, saying, "God, could we talk about something a little more comfortable? Let's talk about something else. Maybe the homily this weekend. We'll talk about that." I think many of us were never taught growing up how to have an adult relationship with God. We were taught our prayers. We were taught to rely on God. And indeed, Jesus himself says that we must be like children. But he also invites us to something more. We must, as families, pray together. And this begins with you who are married. You must pray with your spouse. Hold their hand when you do it. The Bible says that the two become one, not the two remain two. And so you should pray as one. Children need to be taught by their parents and encouraged to just talk to God. Yes, recite formal prayers. Yes, go to Mass and public prayer, communal prayer. But also teach them to just pour out their hearts to God. This can take the form of a journal, a letter they write to God, or just their words in their room. I could imagine if I were a parent saying, "Okay, kids, let's come together and we say a prayer together as a family. And then I say, go to your rooms and I'll come by and tuck you in. And during that time, I want you to kneel at your bedside and tell God about your day." Something that we even need to learn to do as adults. We as Catholics have a unique challenge because we grow up very much with the idea of, number one, formal prayer, and number two, communal prayer. We're really good at going at Mass, aren't we? And we get our responses down and we do a good job at them. But we have to remember that prayer is also private, and prayer is also very dynamic or informal. You know, St. Paul, I realized a few years ago, St. Paul talks about praying without ceasing, that we pray all day long. And I talk to many of you who say, "Father, I do a good job of that. I pray all day long." But we also have that need to cease what we're doing and pray as well. A dedicated time of prayer, as I've mentioned to you before. And during that time, that can be one of the hardest times for prayer, because I don't know about you, but when I sit down, a couple things happen. either a flood of everything that I need to do comes rushing into my mind, or a lot of anxieties about life come rushing in, or because I put everything else out, I'm stuck with me, raw me. And raw me is yucky and sinful. And really, and sometimes doesn't even want to talk to God, because you know what? It'd be a lot easier to go work on something than to talk to you, Lord. Because you want to deal with all the yucky, and I don't. And so it does help during that private prayer time, even though we want to be dynamic about it, or sometimes informal, to give it some structure. And I've shared with you before, I hope you don't mind me sharing with you again, this wonderful acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S, a wonderful format for your prayer time. And that if you spent 2 or 3 minutes doing each one of these things, I can assure you, you would come out feeling like you've prayed. The A in ACTS stands for adoration. We even say in the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This idea that we adore and we praise God for who he is, his majesty, his power, his magnificence. Jesus is not a genie. He's not here to grant wishes. He's not here just to be our buddy, although he can sympathize with our human condition. He is an all-powerful God. One thing that's very helpful in adoring God is using the Psalms. King David wrote the Psalms. And many times he would write it as he was viewing a war going on. He could see the majesty of God happening. He saw the majesty of God happen in his own life. Remember, David's the one who had his lover's husband killed in war and then took her as his own. And yet recognized his own sin, humbled himself before God and repented. This wasn't a perfect man. And then he'd go and write a psalm saying how wonderful God is. That can be your prayer too. I find too that praise and worship music can be very helpful. Or a hymn. Feel free at any time if you want a hymnal, borrow it. Bring it back at some point. Or the beauty of our, you know, technology these days, you can get online and print out hymns, ones that are, or even play them right online. If you think, oh, I don't want to hear my own voice, I want to hear John Michael Talbot's voice, well, play him. Secondly, in ACTS, we have adoration, then contrition. Once I've recognized the dignity and the majesty of God, sometimes standing, sitting, lying, kneeling in his presence, I recognize, well, I haven't really lived up to what he's made me to be. And that's a reflection of him. We say in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses. And then what's unique, guys, and this just hit me last year, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I went and looked up kind of the wording on that to see what is exactly being said there. And what we're doing is we're saying to God, God, I want you to forgive me the way I forgive others. I don't know about you, but I kind of find that scary. I'm asking God to forgive me using the same criteria and the same manner that I show forgiveness to others. Boy, I better start getting a lot more forgiving, right? Thirdly is thanksgiving. And it's kind of implied in the Our Father. We say, give us this day our daily bread. We recognize that every good thing comes from God. I remember one time when my sister, Patty, was particularly feeling discouraged about some of the burdens of married life and having several small children and very needy children. I remember going over there one day. I brought her Starbucks. I always brought her Starbucks because it cheered her up. And she went off griping about things, which we all do, and that's okay. We need somebody to hear us, to listen to us. And I said, Patty, what are you grateful for? You see, sometimes when we feel the burden of life and the trials of life, whether it's our own sin or just our vocation, one of the greatest things we can do in our prayer is to start going through and thinking, God, what should I be grateful for? What should I recognize as your blessing? Because, guys, that's one of the tools of Satan. He loves you to get to sit there and focus on all the negative, right? And being thankful allows us to focus on the positive. Lastly, the S. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. And you hear in that word supplication the word supply. In other words, what do I need God to supply me with? What do I need from Him? And we're all good at this part. Most of us, when we pray, what do? We start with this one, don't we? God, I need. Or God, please help me. And it's not wrong to do that. I found myself doing that this afternoon when I went to pray. Spent about 5-10 minutes saying, God, I need this. And then you stop yourself. And you know what? Your prayer gets a lot better when you put that last. To first recognize His majesty and His glory through adoration. To recognize my need for Him in contrition. To thank Him for what He's given me. And then ask Him to supply. Give us this day our daily bread. I personally keep a prayer list. This prayer list goes back 15 years. Probably the most unique person on it is a young man from Notre Dame University that I met sitting in Austria. What's the town that begins with a V? Vienna? Yeah. I was sitting in Vienna in a garden. He sat down right next to me, which was really weird, and just struck up conversation, and he asked for prayer. Said, okay, I'll pray for you. And I've never forgotten to do that. Don't know where he is today. And I told God, I said, God, I'm going to keep praying for him until I meet him again, either here on this earth or in heaven. Praying for other people is one of the most powerful things we do. And that what I think makes our Catholic faith so beautiful is that we believe in the power of intercessory prayer. Whether it's the saints praying for us or us praying for each other. Keep a list. Pray for those people every day. Brothers and sisters, you were all given the great gift of faith as children. But your prayer cannot simply remain something that you recite each day, but something that becomes an avenue for intimacy with God. Remember, though, that it is also something very simple, a conversation with God, where you look at Him and He looks at you. St. Augustine said, run through all the words of holy prayer in Scripture, and I do not think that you will find anything in them that is not contained or included in the Lord's Prayer. St. Francis, when he first started his following of little friars, many of them uneducated, he taught them simply to take a set of beads and to pray the Our Father over and over and over. Because contained in that Our Father is every element of prayer that we need. I encourage you today as you come before this altar to receive the Eucharist, to welcome Jesus into your life, into your hearts, that like the apostles, you would say to Jesus, teach me how to pray.